Senate will come to order. Signing of enrolled acts. We are at that order of business, signing enrolled act number 2.
Enrolled Act number, House Enrolled Act number 2, being original House Bill 2.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number, Enrolled Act number 2, being original House Bill 2. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 3.
House Enrolled Act number 3 being original House Bill 7.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 3 being original House Bill number 7. I have so signed. Amendment, third reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read.
Did we have messages that we should have read in?
We have messages from the House first. Excuse me.
February the 25th. 2010 from the House of Representatives. Concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 4, Criminal Procedure Time Limits for Competency Evaluations. House Bill 12, Juvenile Detention Facilities Admission Criteria. House Bill 13, Underage Drinking. House Bill 16, Private School Licensing Exemption. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 15, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 9, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, and Johnson. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 90, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, and Johnson. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 34, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, and Johnson. Excuse, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 69, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Your Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 23, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 120, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Sessions, Von Flatern. No, Senators Coe and Jennings, Senator Coe, Chairman.
Okay, bills in third reading and final passage. We are on, continue on Senate File 1. We have amendment, third reading amendment number 15. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 15, budget affected, section 320 AML funding.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 15 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, this is obviously the dynamic compaction amendment 2. Since we had our second reading, I've been working with the AG and the governor's office, and these are some recommended changes that I received from down in those offices. Now, you'll see that there's quite a bit of difference between this and the other amendment. And what we have here is the $120,000 for the structural engineer to assess the damages to those houses, to have a structural engineer come in and do that. And we put in here to the houses and other and residential structures. And, Mr. President, what we realized with the other amendment, what the AG pointed out, was that there's apartments involved in these. And there's an apartment complex that the other amendment, it might not have been clear that we were also including on that. Now, this no longer has the 120-day after the assessment time frame on it, and it does not hold up that AML money that was discussed in the previous amendment. Mr. President, when the state of Wyoming went to Rock Springs, Wyoming, and dropped a weight some 6,900 times, of course, I don't really know how many times they dropped it, and afterwards, though, and after they had the problems, and after there was issues in Rock Springs, representatives of the state of Wyoming went to Rock Springs, Wyoming, and said, we'll take care of this. We promise we'll take care of this. Now, members of the Senate, earlier this session, we passed legislation that says the Code of the West, on page 2, line 9, number 7 says, when you make a promise, you keep it. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, the Code of the West, too, is you go by the Constitution that you follow, and we have a process that prevents special legislation. Now, there are a couple things wrong with this amendment, but by and large, there's a process set forth. And folks, there's a process that's set up to allow these claims to be made, and it's a complicated process. But if you get into the learning more about the facts, what you'll learn is that one of the first things that happens on a settlement that's hard is if you're going to have it based upon an engineer, who's the engineer going to be? Do I get to select my brother as the engineer, or do I have to select somebody that's neutral? Who's going to give the engineer instructions? What are you going to look for? How are you going to do? And in this amendment, the first question is the DEQ is to contract with a qualified structural engineer. So are the folks from Rock Springs saying if we go out and hire any engineer that we want, that they're going to accept the offer? There's nothing in here that says, by the way, there's a promise on the side of the landowners to accept what we offer. There's no promise there. All it says is the state of Wyoming is going to take the step, we're going to hire the engineer, and then it says, in making any settlement offer. Are they going to accept our offers? Or well, now we're telling the Attorney General, you must make a settlement offer? What if he thinks there's no liability? Now, there are two different kind of claims out there. You have inverse condemnation claims, and that might that claim may cover five of the homes, but not ten. Then you have negligence claims, which are a different type of claim, a different species. Not everybody's going to be treated alike because they have different kinds of claims. Folks, this is a complicated process. And as I understand it, you know, if the residents want to go out and accept it or do a binding arbitration, my guess is we would accept it. Let's go out and hire an engineer, but I'll accept the results and you accept the results. The residents don't want to do that because they don't want to be bound by something they don't like. This is a true two-way street. The AG does not need the money to go hire an expert. He has the money in an account already set up to hire an expert. How the process gets there is defined by just the litigation process, and there's two sides of this story. And what's happening now is that and I understand they're your constituents, but if you want to go in and say, look, I want to give you all the benefits, and you don't have to accept any terms. You get to decide whether you like it. We'll put the cake out there, and you get to decide whether you want to eat it or take it. But if you don't like it, if the cake's not big enough, you get to walk away. That's just not the way it works in the litigation world. And that's why we have a litigation team downstairs. We have a separate fund, and we have a process to go through that, to work through this issues. I'd urge you to defeat the amendment.
Senator Cooper.
Well, folks, what you have to realize, we're talking about $120,000 here to have the structural engineer come in and to establish a baseline primarily. I mean, there is no baseline here. They did this in 2007, and who knows if a crack was in the house in 2007, 2006 or 2007 or 8 or 9. Someone has to be able to declare that and work on that. And this is to hire, as it says, a qualified structural engineer. This doesn't have anything to do with paying off a settlement at all. It's just somebody to go in, an expert, to look at these homes that have been damaged and say, okay, this is the baseline, and this is what we think the damage was caused from, and this is what we think that your compensation should be established based on this baseline engineering study that we've done. It's nothing to do with paying them a bunch of money or even it doesn't have anything to do with even paying them for compensation for their homes. It's to establish what the damage was. And just keep that in mind. And besides that, here, it's really interesting how we spend hundreds of millions of dollars we give them to the university over in Laramie for doing all these things. We give money out of AML to pay for highways and to build schools, and we do everything else. This is one thing that we have that actually fits the bill when it comes to AML. It's to take care of this reclamation and these problems caused from mining. It's $120,000 out of millions and millions of dollars. It's not much to ask to give to these people. They've tried. They've tried to work with the state as much as possible. They waited 2 years before they even hired an attorney, and this has been going on for 3 years. And so we just need to help them, folks. I mean, we just need to establish this line.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. If the AG's office has the ability and has the money, where's their report?
If there's a question on the structural problems with these buildings, why hasn't that already been completed? Why don't we have that report here looking at it today? That would be the easiest way to settle this disagreement. If the architectural engineer went in there and studied it, we'd all have it in front of us, and we could tell our senator from over there in the collapsed tree street or whatever we're calling it now, we'd have it. But that hasn't been completed. It hasn't been done, and the AG's office hasn't spent the money. I think we ought to support this amendment. I think we ought to get the study completed, and I think we ought to take this off the table and quit talking about it every year.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, There was a process established early on where an engineer came in and looked at the properties and tried to determine, because there wasn't a baseline study done prior to the dynamic compaction, tried to determine what the damage was. The folks that live on the tree streets felt that the engineer that was hired was inadequate. At the end of last session, the AG's office agreed to hire an engineer of their choosing. And they submitted two names, in which he is looking at one of those firms to come in and re-review that. Since that time, not only do you have the damage from the dynamic compaction, you have damage now from subsidence, in which you saw, I think, that the good senator from Green River had indicated from a forum that it was a low to moderate subsidence risk at that time. That has changed. So I can't say that it may be perfect, but that the state started the process. They started the process when they hired the engineer and they made an offer. There was not any binding arbitration at that time, and the folks in the tree streets decided that they didn't like the offer that was made. And that's part of the process, too. Thank you.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have been conflicted on this particular issue for a couple of years now, and so I sought out somebody whom I respect up in the center part of the state, used to be a legislator down here, and visited with him about this, and he said, Bill, you know, it strikes me that this is exactly what those funds are targeted for. This is exactly how we should be using this money, to help those people down in Rock Springs. And that was good enough for me. I think this is little enough that we can do for some folks that have really been impacted by the situation down there. It's still going to land in the Attorney General's office, but you know what? This is what the abandoned mine lands money is to be used for. I support the amendment.
Further discussion? Sponsored amendment will take a second term.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just a couple, just real quick last points. When I left the AG's office last year, he said to me, if I pay this, what do I point to tell people to justify this? This is just, as we do all the time, spelling out legislative intent in a footnote to say, where he can point to say, legislature said to do this, I'm getting it done, and that's going to take care of it. And I would disagree with my good colleague from Albany County that ever since I've been involved with this, all anybody's wanted was a structural engineer and other than to come in and assess the damage and make the settlement. No one's ever said anything beyond that. It's been consistent with my involvement through this whole thing, and I just ask you to support the amendment.
Question being, third reading, number 15, to Senate File 1. Shall the amendment pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. Division been called for. All in favor of third reading, amendment 15, please stand. Those opposed?
Nine.
The amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 26. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 26, budget affected, section 327, distance education.
Senator Case.
Sorry, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 26. Is that the right one, Mr. Chairman? Mr. President. Mr. President, this deals with the distance education component of the University of Wyoming's budget. This is what we talked about yesterday. This and the following amendment represent a compromise reached between the university and other parties interested in that operation. Mr. President, a lot of this was just a little bit of confusion, perhaps, because the distance education component is supposed to focus on coordinating the delivery of education. It's not supposed to focus on network and hardware. It's supposed to focus on things like curriculum, course content, coordination of time, et cetera, like that. So the university and the providers got together. They supplied this amendment, and the university even reduced the appropriation by $500,000. And so this is not for hardware and those kind of things. It's merely for coordination, and it even says in the amendment, no funds appropriated in this section shall be expended for telecom equipment or telecommunication services without a competitive sealed bidding process. The university is fine with that because they have no intention really of using that money for that, for hardware. So this is an agreement between the parties. I think it's very non-controversial, and hope you'll support the amendment.
Any other comments on the amendment? If not, we're voting on third reading Senate Amendment 26 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Meyer,
Meyer S, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Von Flatern, President Hines. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, Senate, third reading amendment number 26 have passed. Third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 27, budgets affected. Section 328, statewide video conferencing.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you. I'd move third reading number 27 to Senate File 1. This is virtually the exact same thing. However, the money is the same and all this does is insert the same language about the competitive bidding process. Once again, this was worked out between the university and telecom providers. They all agree on it. And but a tiny bit of leeway, Mr. President, on the previous amendment, I don't mean to say that everybody's happy with distance education at the University of Wyoming, because I think K-12 educators are unhappy with that, but that has nothing to do with what I was trying to achieve in the previous amendment. This amendment, exact same thing, exact same language.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. President. And just one clarification, at least based upon testimony to the Appropriation Committee. Specifically, the Department of Education is not happy with distance education proposal, not K-12 education in general.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question being third reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Third reading amendment number 16. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 16, budget affected. Section 333, school capital construction.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, during the presentation of the first reading of the budget bill, members of the Appropriations Committee were referring to the school capital facilities commission and a number of the problems we've been dealing with. And you heard them mention Bighorn School a number of times. Bighorn School has been the poster child for problems that we've been having there. And that's what this amendment addresses. Mr. Chairman, let me first go through a little history. I had a timeline distributed on everybody's desk, and this is what has gone on between the School Facilities Commission and the and Sheridan District 1 since July 2004 going up to November 2009. And the two important points here that I, and you're welcome to go through this, the two important points that happened in this is on page 4, number 29, May through September 2008. That is after the School Facilities Commission had already told Bighorn School that they could not purchase a nice big chunk of property across the road, that they had to build on the same campus, the same small campus that they had before. So they got the plans together, they put the plans together, they submitted to the county. The County Planning Commission did not recommend approval, but the county commissioners overruled them and approved the plan anyway, saying that the Bighorn School didn't have any alternatives and that the School Facilities Commission would not purchase the land. The plans were approved with the stipulation that certain parking and landscaping requirements were to be met, not the least of which were storm sewers and so forth to satisfy the county engineer. The next thing that happened was down on page 541, number 41, and that's the meeting, and this is after construction. It already started on the high school and junior high, and it's a beautiful facility, and it's moving along. It should be ready by this coming fall, and it's at that point that the staff of the School Facilities Commission informed Bighorn that they were not going to go forward with phase three of the plan, which was demolition of the old elementary school and the old high school. Phase four was the construction of a new elementary school. This leaves Bighorn in quite a lurch. And if it was just a matter of, okay, you're going to have to stick with your old elementary school, that'd be one thing. But the problem you run into here is the fact that because the elementary school and the old high school will not be demolished, this does not give Bighorn enough room to insert the ponds for the storm sewers that the county engineer has required. It does not allow for the bus loop that they had planned to put in. It violates the conditional use permit that the county had given to the Bighorn School. In other words, they may not, and they have thus indicated so far, that they may not give an occupancy permit for this $25 million school that we have spent so much time and effort on building. In addition to that, because the elementary school, the current elementary school, is sitting where the parking lot was going to be, in addition to violating the conditional use permit, this means that the students are going to have to park out on the state highway and hike in to get to the school. Mr. Chairman, this has been a continuing source of frustration to everyone concerned, and the subject of a number of meetings, including the governor, including the School Facilities Commission, including some members of the Joint Appropriations Committee and the Oversight Committee. Thus, the amendment that you see here, and what the amendment says is it tells the commission that they will take $3.6 million, which is leftover money from previous other construction projects. This is money that's already been appropriated and is basically rollover money or reversion money, and add that to the $5.1 million, which is actually left over from this particular project. This project had appropriated over $30 million for it and came in at just over $25 million. Put those together, and we're not saying that they shall go do this. This will be subject to review. There is paragraph J in the current budget bill that says that the School Facilities Commission shall meet up at Bighorn on or before May 1st. After that meeting, and this is where this amendment comes in, following the, that hearing, they will report to the school facilities, I'm sorry, they will report to the Joint Appropriations Committee and the Oversight Committee, and upon approval of the governor, then finish that project. Now, Mr. President, I would be glad to take any questions on this particular issue at this time, and I believe there's others who may want to discuss this, who are as familiar with this project as I am.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise as a member of the so-called Oversight Committee or Select School Facilities. I think the sponsor of this amendment has done a very good job of explaining a very complicated, a very convoluted issue, one with which we wrestled with on the Select Committee for some time. I think his representations have been fair, and for the most part, from what I can tell, again, a very complicated issue, quite accurate, and I would urge your support of this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, as we go forward with these projects, it's important that as you communicate with your constituents and as you start to assess how to take people out of order, take care with the notion of promises. Because it's so easy for people to come onto the floor and say, we were promised this. Two people go to a meeting, one person comes out thinking that their promise was made, and all of a sudden dollars are appropriated. This situation is unique. And what made this situation is unique is because the planning process went forward with the assumption that a third phase was going to be built on it. And you can't go and make temporary fences or temporary corrections to the facility because it was intended to have one more building. And I'm going to vote for the amendment, but as we go forward, the promises really have to come off. Until projects get appropriated here, there are no promises. I take Albany County for an example. Albany County had a wing that was a science wing that was appropriated and in the budget. Actually, they were going to be construction, I think, last summer. The facilities staff came over and looked at the high school and said, well, why are you putting a brand new wing on this old building? The HVAC system is inadequate. The air is traveling through the basement. So Albany County scrapped the wing, the $11 million wing, and said, great, we're going to get a new high school. And began the process of planning for a new high school. But now they have neither the wing, and they're not going to get a high school because they're way down on the list. And it's easy enough to come in and say, look, we were promised a high school. And, folks, nobody's promised anything until they come here and they get the appropriation. Having said that, this is a problem because construction has begun. Plans were made in a way that require that last phase, and we might as well, sooner or later, we're going to have to take care of it. Let's take care of it sooner than later.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one technical note in case folks are wondering. The appropriation here will have no effect on any of the projects that are already profiled in the bill. This is rollover money, previously appropriated money to the commission, and there's approximately $10 million of that's not profiled in the budget bill, and so $3.6 million of that $10 million is coming out $3.6 is coming out of that $10 million amount. So, again, no impact on anything that's in the budget bill.
Senator Vidal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question about that. And I thought when we had the presentation on the capital facilities, we talked about four projects that were left off, that we were going to be utilizing these rollover funds, and so I'm confused. We said we needed them. Now we're not sure.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
When you go to this chart, which is on page 12 of the legal handout that went out on the 19th, you're correct. There are four projects down below, and the rollover dollars were made available to fund those projects. So as we use up the rollover dollars, there will be less likelihood that those projects will be funded down on the bottom. So we've essentially taken this project and inserted it right here at the top, And if you notice, we've asserted it above priority 27 that's Sheridan number 2. So the likely effect of this is the Sheridan number 2 in the same constituent or the same sponsor's district, their building may not get built. And they may have, that elementary school may have to work, will have to work, in all likelihood, wait until we come back for more money. So the sponsor's made, and every time you're now funding a project that is lower priority to a lot of projects. So whatever's, you go to the book and there might be 20 projects ahead of this. But on the other hand, if you're a project that's lower than this, you want every project taken care of above the list. The issue here, what was happening is plans were being made to pick up multiple phases, and where one phase might be in high priority and the other one very low priority, and so the higher priority phases were collecting, if you will, the lower priority projects. And we're never going to get rid of that problem, and that's the phased projects that we've talked about. You do phase one, you need to do phase three and phase four. But no matter how you look at it, this is a project that was begun on the assumption there was going to be another building. Sooner or later, we're going to have to get to it, and we might as well get the problem taken care of.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not dissimilar than the problems that occurred in Dubois, other than they didn't start construction. The school facilities had them way up on the priority list, I think number 3. They came in, they bought a huge piece of land to put the new high school on. Then they were put way down the bottom of the priority. They may never get up to the top of the priority, but they're still holding that piece of land. So one thing I was going to suggest, maybe we could swap you some land. Dubois, but seriously, Mr. Chairman, we really need some of the things we're doing to try to correct that problem. They're sitting there with that land. They have to maintain it. They have to do other things to it, police it and all of that, and they're never probably going to get a high school built on it. What do we do with it? They can't sell it. I don't know, but that's an example of the problems with the phasing and so on. I support the amendment. We've got to begin to take care of those problems.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a problem, and it's nothing new, though. And I'd remind the body that out of the 5 schools in my Senate district that have been built over the last 10 years or so, every one of them has had a similar type of problem with the SFC and the local school board or constituents. Broken promises, outright lies among the people that were visiting the school board meetings. It got to the point on one particular project in my hometown that the only people that were talking were the attorneys. And the constituents felt that they were blackballed. And this was one of the first programs, buildings, that was supposed to be built out of the chute when SFC was first created. And this year, we finally got a school built. 7 years later. So this is not anything new. And what I'm fearing that's happening here, in a conversation I had with one of those 4 districts that were dropped from the original list because of appropriations actions, they don't have a problem with the state having less money and being postponed, but they do have a problem with leapfrogging occurring. And that's just what's happening here. If we want to go through that door again, then all of these concerns, mistrust, those type of feelings are going to come right back at us, and it opens the door of whoever has the most political clout can get that project of theirs bumped up in front of the others. And so I'd urge caution against this amendment, Mr. President.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask the sponsor of the amendment, has he considered finding some money for the potential lawsuits that come from everybody from under the list that got bumped over?
Senator Massey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. The process that we changed last year with legislation and that we implemented this year, starting with the Select Committee and with the bill you see in front of you is supposed to eliminate the problem that the senator from the Bighorn Basin talked about. And I think that it will. It's been a tough process, but with a great deal of discipline, I think that we can put the past behind us in which projects were moved up and down the priority list at will, and a lot of people felt deceived. This is a remnant of the past, though. It's a remnant problem that you just simply can't correct with a statute. And we have to pay attention to that. There were a couple of others, mostly in the component funding area, that came to our attention that the Facilities Commission has been able to take care of and we don't have to bring in front of the body here. But there nevertheless are at least one, this is the only skeleton that we know of that's still in the closet that we're going to have to take care of. And this is an appropriate way of doing it because we're not using additional money. We're using money that was appropriated in the past for this very type of thing. And we could have just easily, or the sponsor could have easily gone to this Facilities Commission and said, okay, let's come to an agreement and we'll take care of it. We don't have to go and put it in the budget. I think it's more straightforward by having it here because it makes it clear to everybody that we're correcting this problem and we're going to move forward.
Anyone else wish to speak before the sponsor takes his second term? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you for the comments. As I said, there's a six-page timeline here, and one of the things I did not want to do was really go off on the School Facilities Commission or anything. There's nothing I can do about that. What we're trying to do is address what the situation is now and to go forward. A couple of things I wanted to mention. It was, in fact, true that one of those next four schools down the list, the next one on the list, happens to also be in Sheridan. But they haven't started on that yet. So it's a matter of just delaying something that's starting. As far as leapfrogging goes, this was top of the priority list. Construction started on it, and then after they were already in construction, and the people of Sheridan District 1 went out and voted itself taxes for enhancements to the tune of $2 million based on the original design. Then the Facilities Commission then took Phase 3 and 4 and dropped them down in priority after the construction had already started. So it's not a matter of taking somebody from the depths and leapfrogging them over. If that was just the case by itself, I would sit there and be howling at the moon like everybody else who's been dropped down by the Facilities Commission. The problem is, right now, is the current construction is going to be untenable and uninhabitable without phases 3 and 4 going through. That's the problem we're looking at. And as a matter of fact, it has been said to me by members of the senior staff of School District 1, if they had known that they were going to go through this, they wouldn't have asked for the construction in the first place. And it's a situation where they have been left worse off than before they started. And I don't think that's what we're about here, and I don't think that's what, even the Facilities Commission thinks they're about. As the good senator from Albany County said, this is a skeleton from the past. This is a remnant during a transition that was inadvertent. I think it was an unintended consequence.
Question is, should third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1 pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geist?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson? Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Meyer-S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
Amendment file 16. Third reading amendment number 16 has passed. Third reading amendment number 17. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 17, budgets affected, section 334, school finance recalibration.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1. The recalibration language, or at least the direction to the recalibration committee on what it should be doing, was a result of a lot of discussions leading up to placing it in the budget bill as you see now. It involved the governor's office, it involved leadership on both floors, it involved other people in the education community. And folks were happy with the direction, and then that's the reason the Appropriations Committee inserted it into the bill. Afterwards, as especially the folks who were supposed to implement it or are going to have to implement it began looking at it, they started saying, well, exactly what does some of this mean? And as a result, folks here, some of the people here on the Senate floor got together and say, let's just simply clarify the language so that we have a common understanding on how to proceed. Mr. President, that's what folks here on the floor have in front of them. It's a rewording of what's in the bill, but it hasn't changed any of the meetings or the direction. It hasn't changed any of the directions or the substance of those directions. You can see by the folks who are sponsoring the amendment, three of them are named in the bill as chairman of committees who will be serving on recalibration. So this not only helps with a common understanding of everybody involved, but certainly of three of the key people who are going to be on the committee. And that's the spirit in which this amendment is brought to the floor.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question is, shall third reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 18 to Senate file 1. Reading clerk will read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment 18, budgets affected, section 335, local government distributions.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I bring this amendment to put $10 million more for our local governments. And I know some of you have been resistive to this, but let me tell you some of the reasons why I think it is so imperative that we do this. We have to remember that our cities and towns and counties have suffered because of loss of sales tax revenue. Not only that, they have no ways to really increase revenue. So the only way that they can get increases is from us. So one of the things we have to remember, too, is that really our local governments are closest to our constituents. They feel the needs every day, and this is something that we can do to help them. I know we have added some extra money, but the money that we are looking at here comes from unexpended or excess over the required reserve in the general fund. This is a way that we can show the people that we do care about them. I want to let you know, too, that in our last budget in 2008, some of our smaller communities were negatively affected by what we did. And they're still feeling the results of that. So this is a further cut to them at a time when they need it quite a bit. Another thing that I want to remind you of, because I know you're going to hear, we need to save, we need to have a future, we need our rainy day accounts. Let me tell you that many of our communities out there are saying, this is a rainy day. Help us. The other thing we have to remember is we are saving. We have the LSRA with $719 million. We have the Spending Policy Reserve Account with $136.9 million, making a total of $856 million. Folks, we are saving. Now is the time in some way to help, especially our smaller communities. So I hope that you will consider this amendment. It is not taking the money out of savings. I would appreciate your consideration.
Senator Meyer, would you move the amendment, please?
Oh, Mr. President, I apologize. I move third reading amendment 18 to Senate File 1.
Thank you. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess on and against the amendment, folks, if you look at the statistics and you look at the numbers and you look at the charts, the cities, towns, and counties have their revenues have pretty much done what our revenues, and they're done. They're coming back up. And as you pointed out, as the documents show, the counties that suffered the most are the ones that have the most. And so when you begin to look at the counties that the small counties, the ones that are the greatest need, their revenues are pretty stable. I submit to you that our practice has been that when we come back in the supplemental budget, if we have additional resources and we're comfortable after all of our other obligations are met, that's the time to look to see whether we can afford more. And we've oftentimes appropriated more during the general fund or to for the supplemental or general session for supplemental budget. So I'd urge you to resist it. Keep our funds the way that we planned on having them now. There ought to be some leftover money because we are going to have some obligations when we come back. And if our revenues come back, the picture looks better, brighter, then we'll take it into consideration at that time.
Senator Dr. Statter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that as we try to help out our communities here, that it's been a few years, but we pulled back the food tax, something they were relying on heavily, and then we moved forward with, at least as I recall in my early days here, that we'd try to come back and work things back and make them as whole as possible. Now, what we're looking at here is taking these funds from the unappropriated general fund. This isn't something that's already out there. These funds are unappropriated, and this is an opportunity to step back in. We told them we'd try to do good by them as time went on, and this is an opportunity to do it, help them just a little bit in these trying times. They are relying on the state to move forward.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I think we've forgotten something, and as I read the paper every day, we've forgotten that the money for our cities, towns, and counties, it's our people's money. It's not our money. It's our people's money. They're in this with us. Their sales taxes are down, and what this revenue down, but what this is going to result in is if we don't just try to do a little bit more, is we have layoffs. We have people that will no longer have jobs, and it's a vicious cycle for that. The more people that do not have an income, the less money there is in the economy, so it is a vicious circle. And we're sitting here with the money to help stop this. And I, of all the things that government is supposed to do, I think that this is one thing that government is supposed to do, is to help the people in a time of need. And I think the need is there. So thank you.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like my colleague from Laramie County, I wasn't going to stand up on this either. But I've given a lot of thought the last couple of months to the situation that our local governments do find themselves in. We're going to have a couple of different options on what to do with this. I think I have a pretty good idea of what the temperature is. It's wintertime out there. But you know, folks, I liken this to this economic war that we've got going on. And the infantry, the front line of this war, is our local government. They're the ones out there in the trenches, and we're sitting back here with the tanks, and we've got a few shells left, and they're getting bloodied up on the front line, and we're saying, you know, we're not going to lob any shells for you right now. We're going to see if you can hang in there. Well, they're not hanging in there. I keep hearing that the counties with the most They're the ones that have the most. But I want to remind you all that that's where the impact hit. Those are the counties where the folks moved into the counties to try to help us fill those jobs that raised all the revenue for us. And so then those counties are the ones, and those cities are the ones that have to put up the stoplights and the stop signs and fix the sewer and bury the water pipes. That's where the impact is. In my neck of the woods, sales tax revenues are down 33%. This is an opportunity. You know, I'm not down here to spend money either, folks, but this is an opportunity to at least lob a mortar shell in there and help our cities. Liken it to this. Throw them a parachute, at least. They're hurting out there, and so I've got to say, I think I support the amendment.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I urge the Senate to be cautious with this amendment. As Mr. President will recall, when we did de-earmarking, we said, okay, cities and counties, we'll appropriate you money, which they never got before. We'll appropriate it. You ride with us on the ups, and you ride with us on the downs. Boy, did they ride from 2000 on, 2001, actually, is when they started cashing in on the severance tax, and they rode it and loved every minute of it. But now they're starting down. Remember, when we start down, for every dollar in sales tax they lose, we lose two. State of Wyoming loses 2-1. 2-1. I also urge you go look at your local city. See what they're sitting with in reserves. I'll pick a city right in the middle of the state, a large town. $22 million in reserves, have not laid off an employee, not one. What about the state of Wyoming? Go talk to the 88 people that got laid off over in Laramie, lost jobs with that 10% cut. Cities are crying the blues? Yeah, I'm sure they're crying. Are they hurting? Nope. Go look at what your own city's carrying over. City I represent. Carrying over reserves of 10% of their budget. Compute what the state of Wyoming is carrying over. Available reserves. Not the enterprise funds and things that cities had. That city's carrying over 10%. In available reserves. State of Wyoming, where are we at? On a, whatever it is, $3 billion budget? 2.3% of available reserves is our total. Now you tell me who's hurting here. Not that city carrying over 10%, or that city in the middle of the state with 22 million sitting undedicated, just money in the bank. Are they hurting? No. Are they trying to get out of a commitment they made? You appropriate us money, we'll ride with you in the good times, and we'll ride with you when things start back down. I would suggest to you, we'll be back here in whatever it is, 8 months or whatever. If the economy turns, I'll step up and say, I'll eat these words I'm speaking right now, and let's send them some money. But I will tell you, in my community, within the last 30 days, a major fabrication company laid off two of their fabricators. If you want to think the economy isn't still going down, those are the guys that do projects, that subcontract, the welders, the truckers, the patrol drivers, the water trucks. There is absolutely no guarantee that our economy has turned any sort of corner. I would suggest to you, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. And when it really gets bad, we still have an obligation to our cities and counties. I readily agree. But we also have an obligation to make sure that we can fund the basic services, health and safety, the prisons, the correctional officers, the highway patrol, people like that, that are state employees, and folks with a 2.3% reserve that's readily available, it's going to be tough to do. We need better economic times. I agree. Are we sure they're here yet? I'd suggest to you they're not here yet. If the industry that's the driver for our economy is still contracting at that, you know, the old saying, wake up Leroy, he's never seen a wreck like this before. You might want to wake up Leroy and let him see how bad this wreck is. Oh, you never heard that? You know, the truck driver waking up his buddy Leroy. Wake him up. He ain't seen a wreck like this. I think he was coming off the pass up here. But anyway, I urge you, be cautious. We can come back in the general session. And if things really have turned around, I'm right with you. I'll eat these words and I'll help shovel money that direction. But until then, I urge you to be very, I urge you to vote no.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I intend to vote no because I think, given the financial circumstances that all of us in the state of Wyoming are in, the appropriations bill as it stands before us does a reasonable job, an adequate job, not a very good job, but an adequate job, one you can get by on for the cities and towns. And I'm afraid we're in the get-by mode right now. But I do think it's unfair to criticize the cities and towns for doing their best to carrying reserves. And we're carrying reserves on a scale that we don't let them carry. We've got, what, looking at the goldenrod, going to be $718 million if we don't spend it. And the LSRA, just to mention one account, other reserves in the spending policy accounts, other reserves dedicated to water projects. We've been prudent here. We have restricted, I think, the ability of our cities and towns to exercise the same degree of prudence in the good times to prepare for the bad times. But they have been able to do some things. And I don't think it's fair to criticize them for doing that. I do think that we've got to be cautious as to how much we spend with them this time, make sure they've got enough to get by with, but let's not criticize them for trying to exercise some degree of prudence in the kind of down economy we're seeing.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Having hung around that town in the middle of the state, we found out just before we came down here that we're really looking at employee-wise, we're looking about what we had about 6 or 7 years ago. And that really hasn't grown much in the city or the county area. But what I'd really like to ask is, on that ride, and this all happened before a lot of us got here, you guys had a ride, the swing up, and they were all riding with you on the swing up until they hit the caps. So maybe this would be a good time, not now, but maybe next session, be a good time to readdress those caps. If we do go back up on that ride, let them ride all the way with us. Give them a little bit more ability to pack those reserves around or back so that when it comes to times like this, they can ride the low times a little bit easier.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To those who wish to go back to D earmarking, which was that, 2000, 2001, get over it. Folks, that's, you know, 10 years ago. And we had to do that because we were facing a substantial budget deficit, and frankly, the state couldn't balance their budget. With earmarking, we had control of only about 20% of the income coming into the state. Everything else was automatically dispersed here, there, wherever, to all of these accounts. And most of the cities and towns still want to go back and talk about de-earmarking in the caps. Now, just as was described by the good senator from KC, I'm not going to say that they agreed to that, but folks, it's 10 years ago. Let's move on. We don't have the money. Anybody that's ever been through these rainy day times and went through the problems of going through spending a month going through every agency in state government, which we did with the revenue and expenditure study, and try to find a place to cut a budget, will realize we have to be there. We have to have reserves. We have to have the money that to allocate to all of these programs that all these amendments we're going through here are trying to solve. We had, at that time, and that's what led to it, control of about 20% of our revenue, and 80% of our expenditures were mandated. By the time you take Medicaid and the corrections and education and all those things we're doing, and frankly, they're still mandated. You can spend a little less on education, maybe, but the court then will jump in. You can't spend much less on corrections. In fact, the population's growing. You can't spend less money on Medicaid. The Medicaid bills are going to grow. And so it is, I think, absolutely essential that we maintain enough money that if it dips again, we have the money to provide the services that we're basically mandated to provide. And we are mandated to provide them. There's not much flexibility when you start getting into the budget that you can really do that much with. And so I urge you to defeat this. I would urge you to resist all of those attempts until we come back next year and figure out what really did happen in the accounts, the sales tax, the minerals taxes, which that's not that long away. And we can supplement. We always do a supplemental budget. In fact, it's turned into the general budget supplemental, whatever you want to call it. But we do sometimes more than we did here. But please, don't start overspending and going in. I know the cities and towns are hurting a little bit. And they may, but we can correct that. But everybody has to tighten their belt. But don't put the state again, ever, in the situation where we're going to have a deficit because, folks, there's no place to cut after you've gone through every agency. Please resist this.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Here's some numbers for folks to kind of keep in mind on funding levels for local governments over the last three biennia. In reality, we've given money to governments in two broad categories. One is direct distribution, which is what this amendment pertains to. And the other one is one-time money, such as through State Land Investment Board, business-ready communities, and community facilities. And we don't see that as part of the budget here, but that does go to local governments. Okay, what about the first category, direct distribution? In fiscal year 7 and 8, two biennia ago from what we're dealing with now, it was $167.6 million. In fiscal year 9 and 10, the present biennia, it's $145.8 million. So in reality, local governments with direct distribution are already taking a decrease in this biennia. And presently in the bill, it's $81 million. With the $91 million on this amendment, the difference it makes is that presently in the bill, it's a 45% decrease from the present biennia, and with the amendment, it would be a 38% decrease. And, of course, we're not touching the one-time money project money that's going to cities and towns. Presently, in the present biennia, that's $329.4 million. And presently in the budget is $93.5 million for a 72% cut. So all in all, if you were to add up the two categories, what it really comes down to is this. In the present biennia, local government is getting $475.2 million. Under the budget bill, that's reduced to $183.5 million, or a 64% cut. With this $10 million amendment, it will go to $193.5 million and reduce the cut from 64% to a 61% reduction.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Meyer, so for your second term time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the comments that have been made. And I hope that we will keep that in mind, the major cut that our local governments have suffered, and take that into consideration. And if you need further information, this will tell you in the Meyer Amendment just what your cities, towns, and counties would get. And I urge you to support this amendment. Let's help them as much as we can. Thank you.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 18 to Senate File 1 pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing, vote closed, 14 ayes, 16 noes.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 18 have failed. Third reading amendment number 19. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 19. Budgets affected, second sections 335, local government distributions.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 19 to Senate File 1 and ask for your consideration. Members of the Senate, what we're doing is just taking the two-thirds, one-third, and putting the percentages in. There was some discussion about the percentages from the last year and the last few years and what the percentages and what the two-thirds and one-third does. This puts in the percentages that or a little bit closer to what the cities and towns were getting last year. I see that there was a document passed around just recently that said Hastert-Cole Amendment, and it'll show you there the divisions and the splits on the money, and it'll show you where, you know, each of the communities and what this does, you know, dollar-wise. Take a look at that, and ask for your consideration on this.
Senator Nicholas.
Folks, when you look at these distributions, I handed out, should be a sheet like this, legal sheet that shows the relative amounts. And if you go back and you see what the distributions between county and cities were, you go back to 2003, 2004, you'll see that there's a 57% to the cities, towns, and county, 42% to the cities and towns, 57, 42 the counties. Then in the 05-06, it was 70-30, 05-06, 45-54, 05-06, it was a 61-38% split, 07-08, 66.67 to a 33 1/3 switch. Take a look at the food tax allocation that year, where it was 57.9% to the city, 42% to the county. The next year it was 66.7, then it was 66.7, then 69, and then back. And what we asked the staff to do when we prepared the present bill is to go out back and look at what we were doing historically. And you have to make some decisions. So the what we ended up recommending that's in the budget bill is sort of an average of everything. And you could see that we've gone up and down in different years, but the 66.7%, 33.3% is sort of an average of everything. So when the cities say, look, we had a higher percentage, they go and they pick 1 year or maybe 2 years where they had a higher percentage, ignoring the years where the counties had higher percentages. And you can argue I mean, if you can always find a year where somebody did better than the other. And what we really did here is try to find an average and hold to the average. But that's how the decision got made. We all represent cities. We all represent counties. And we all know that most of the people are served are in cities, and yet the counties also provide services to people in the city as well. So it was a balance, and I kind of urge you to stay with the balance.
Senator Cove.
Well, Mr. President, this amendment, but this actually gives a little bit more money to the cities and takes a little bit away from the counties, contributed. So this is a policy you can make here. You can choose this, or you can, I think you're going to see another one out there. But anyway, I'd urge that you support the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question being, shall third reading amendment 19 to Senate file 1 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment had failed. Division been called for. All in favor, please stand. The amendment has failed. Third reading amendment number 31.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 31. Budgets affected. Section 335, local government distribution.
Senator Bebot.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I had put this amendment in to have some discussion about how these formulas were created. We've had that. Without objection, I would withdraw my amendment.
Without objection. Third reading amendment number 31 has been withdrawn. Next amendment is third reading amendment number 30. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 30, multiple budget 5, local government distribution.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 30 to Senate file 1. Members of the Senate, I thought I'd try a little different approach to this, and we've heard some great discussion about cities, towns, and counties. We've heard great discussions about our budget and our reserves, and I generally agree with that. What this does is we have our 900 series accounts within our budgets, and you're all familiar with that. That's primarily contractual service, and that's a particular part of the budget that's been growing, and it's hard to put a handle on it. Mr. President, what this does, it's an across-the-board cut of less than 2% to the Section 9 or to the 900 series in all of the agencies. And Mr. President, that's $2.5 million each year. There's approximately $275 to $300 million total that is in the contracts. There's a 200 series, a 600 series. All those contracts are entered into in those particular areas. This is contractual services that agencies departments enter into with what I would call primarily consultants. And, Mr. President, it's a matter of prioritization. I feel very comfortable that one of the larger fabricating outfits in his county just laid off 2 people. It's tough out there in the private sector. I can tell you that in the negotiations that I have as a member of that private sector and business, when people come in to me and say, for whatever contractual service they're providing me, the cost last year was this, I say, times have changed. I think the state can do the same thing. That's the argument for taking it out of there. The argument for the cities and towns and counties, by the way, is I think it's money better spent closer to the people. The travesty with it is that some cities and some counties, when they got all the one-time money this legislative body gave them, they spent it on one-time deals. A lot of the cities didn't, and they're the ones that are suffering in somewhat. And another problem with it that's not really fair is some communities have seen a huge hit to their sales taxes. Other communities have not, primarily where government services are provided. I don't know how you solve that problem. Mr. President, I would ask that you support this. It takes money from someplace that I think is bloated in state government. Give it to those that can certainly use it.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate, I think, where the good sponsor from Fremont County is going. And I apologize for being on a little slower horse here, but I'm just trying to get my arms around exactly what we might be doing. I guess my question would be, we're already hurting at the city and county levels, and that's going to really be difficult on our small business, particularly our contractors. You know, the people who do the street work and the water repairs, and that's our neighbors. And under this contracted services, my concern would be, I hope that's not the same folks. And I see the head shaking on. I'm glad to hear that. But I just have a question of exactly how this is tracking, and so maybe we could have a little more conversation about where this money's come from, where it's going to go.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I guess the problem that I have with this is the same problem we had with the governor having the 10% cut authority. It was nice, I think, that we gave it to him. I think he used it for the most part prudently. But it takes the legislative process completely out of the process, because you're abdicating basically our appropriation authority, because you're giving the de-appropriation authority to the governor. And, you know, and sometimes that's frustrating, and we've seen it on the floor today and the previous days where, you know, some of those funds were tried to be brought back in, some came back in, but it was kind of frustrating to know that we abdicated all of that authority, basically the one man. And so we're doing it again with this in contracts, and we're taking it away from the private sector in the 900 series contracts and giving it to the public sector. And I'm just wondering whether that's the right way to go right now.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second term? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment does not affect any kind of contracts that counties, cities, towns, the state, YDOT, any of those may enter to provide services to work on our highways, infrastructure, any of those kind of things. It does affect, as my colleague from Goshen County talked about, the private sector in the sense that, yeah, there are some private contractors out there that provide consulting services to the state to the tune of $275 million. Once again, members of the Senate, times are tough. Across the boards is not really the way that I like to do things. However, I think you provide the agencies with a tool that says, listen, they cut us by 2%, 2%. I think we probably get the same services for that same amount of money. And then we do, in fact, give it to the cities, towns, and counties. I would ask for your support.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1 pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case? Co.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Honeycutt.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Meyer-S.
No.
Nicholas. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote?
Martin, aye to no.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
How do you vote? Third reading amendment number 30 have failed. Third reading amendment number 20 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 20, budget affected, 335, local government distribution.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading. Amendment number 20, thank you, to Senate File 1, and ask for the body's favorable consideration of, Mr. President and Senators, what we're trying to do here is just look at the hardship formula. I hesitate to bring this amendment, serving on appropriations. I was waiting for someone else to step up to the plate and hit one, but being on third reading, I felt I needed to do this. So I'd point out, as we talk about this hardship formula, that this was one of the, as we had dinners a week or two ago with our County Commissioners Association, this was the first priority on their list, was to look at this budget bill and specifically the appropriations, and they took the support with the hardship formula to include 10 counties instead of the 6 that is being appropriated this hardship money. I've handed out this chart, 2 pages. If you want to refer to that, the very last column is, in fact, the hardship distribution amounts. We're not talking about increasing the amount. We're just basically introducing the idea of tweaking the formula to allow more counties to access that hardship money. The first box on the top is the JAC's recommendation and how that hardship plays out. You'll count down on the far right side the 6 figures. Those are the 6 counties that presently receive hardship based on the formula that we've derived. The bottom box would be with the amendment. Same amount, you'll notice, $2,226,306, but you'll count down the number of counties that could now receive this hardship money, and there are 9 instead of 6. Basically, what sold me on this, and I wasn't willing to bring this amendment until the County Commissioners Association said it would be a more fair distribution, and my ears perked up. When the County Commissioners Association support this amendment, and they say it would be fair distribution, because you'll see on the list, on the front page, there are most definitely winners and losers. But when they brought forth this amendment or this concept or idea, and they were unified as an association, that told me that even those that were going to receive less money were supportive of it, then I really took notice of that, and that's why I'm bringing this amendment, Mr. President. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out. You can look across the lines and see if your counties, most of you don't have a dog in the fight when it comes to hardship formula, because you don't receive any anyway. But the County Commissioners Association feels that this would be a fair distribution. As Appropriations Committee member, I paid attention to that, and I thought, well, maybe they're right. Maybe it needs to be tweaked a little bit. And so I leave that to your discretion. Vote it up, vote it down, follow the lines across, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in years past, there was a medical procedure where they bled the sick. I look at the hardship county within my district, and I think that's a bit of what's happening here. I'd urge you to resist this amendment.
Further discussion before Senator Nicholas.
You're giving more money to one that's, I mean, if one is here and one's here, and you're giving more to this one, and this one's going down, and they're already above. But I know one thing, when you take a look at Goshen County, and I'll take ours, Goshen is way down here. And what you're doing is you're taking they're here per capita, Laramie County is up here per capita, so we're going to say, well, let's make it a little bit more money so that Laramie County can have a little bit more money, and this guy down here that had more is going way down. And you're further driving the inequities. And I guess the challenge is to show us what the per capita was income before and after. And I'm sure you're going to find out per capita wise the sort of bleeding the sick is probably an accurate assessment.
Anyone else wish to speak before the sponsor take his second term? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, you can tell that times are tough and money's not as available as it was the last biennium. When the bottom feeders start fighting over the crumbs, that's this is. But I will point out once again, when the Association of County Commissioners say this is a fair distribution, my ears perked up. I was involved as a committee member of appropriations as we derived this formula. There were many formulas out there. I actually came home from after our meetings thinking that my particular county was part of that hardship formula. To my surprise, I got home and I was so confused. So, you know, the argument could be had the other way. Where's the line drawn? Put your figures to the formula and include your county or not. I mean, it's not really much of a science at all. We just tweaked the formula. The county commissioners support it, and I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Question is, third reading, amendment number 20 to Senate File 1 that passed. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer? Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Yes.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
Third reading number 20 have failed to pass. Third reading number 21. Corrected copy to Senate File 1. Reading, clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 21 to a corrected copy. Budgets affected. Addition to 300 sections.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 21 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, we had a little discussion here 20, 30 minutes ago about the contract services. What this amendment does and the purpose of it, and there's a lot of language in there, but essentially it says during the next 9 months, starting July, not the next 9 months, but for a nine-month period, starting July 1 and ending March 31st, no contract for services shall be entered into without the approval of the director of the department making the expenditure in accordance with the requirements set forth in executive order to be furnished by the governor no later than July 1st. By the fifth business day of every month, this limitation is in place. Each director shall furnish to the budget division of ANI the amount of each contract or service along with a statement of the reasons for doing that. And then ultimately that gets to the GAC. Mr. President, the purpose of this language is just to see if we can get a handle on these contract services, the amounts of them, what's going on. It further goes on to state that beginning period April 1st and ending June 30th, 2012, that they shall all be in the expanded budget and nothing shall be approved for general funds appropriated unless we have, in fact, authorized it by this legislature. It goes on to say, Mr. President, on the second page, because, once again, there may be certain circumstances that exist where we've got to be careful on agencies, particularly the smaller ones, that the governor may provide that an entity which would otherwise qualify as an agency under this paragraph is exempt from the requirements, and then he writes a letter justifying that. Mr. President, the whole purpose of this is to see if we can get a handle on these contract services. And I understand what the Appropriations Committee and some of the frustration they went to. I tried to go in and figure out what it is and how much we're spending. It's very difficult. All we're asking them to do is to have a higher awareness of them, to bring this information forward, and for a nine-month period starting July 1, that they will send it to the JAC. They will look at that. We come back and we can have a better handle. Maybe we're spending the right amount of money. Maybe we're not. I would ask for a favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Question is, shall third reading amendment number 21 to Senate File 1 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All in favor, please stand. Those opposed. The amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 22, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Third reading amendment number 22, Senator Cole.
President, we had discussion yesterday. This was going to be effective July 1st of 2010. This is the select committee. And we felt it was important to go ahead and let this committee go to work as soon as they wanted to, so we changed the effective date to immediately, and that's what the amendment does.
Discussion on the amendment. Question? Senator Cole, you need to move the amendment, please.
Mr. President, I'd move that amendment.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment. Question being third reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment passed. Third reading amendment number 23. Please read, the reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 23, budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is go into the Select Committee on the Developmental Disabilities Group and task them with additional effort of saying, let's take a look at the balance statements, financial statements, and budgets of the residential treatment providers, so just the residential treatment providers, and to verify staffing levels, staff salaries, overhead, and profits, so we can actually begin to take any presumed information that you might receive from a consultant and then apply it on the ground and see what's actually happening. I urge your support.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question being, third reading amendment 23 to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 24. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 24, budgets affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment 24 to Senate File 1. You'll recall that this is the budget language that talks about the role of the governor with respect to the director. In the first draft, we had that he would serve at the direction of the governor. We were told by staff that, hey, I think you've got the wrong language. The proper language is serve at the pleasure of the governor, and we concurred that that is the better language, more appropriate. I'd urge your support.
Discussion on amendment. Question being, third reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 29. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 29, a budget affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 29 to Senate File 1. This brings a section of the present biennial budget into the next biennium, and it pertains to the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund challenge account. Mr. President, this was set up in 2006 and consisted $3 million in which we placed in the Treasurer's office and challenged the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund board to raise private funds. And for every dollar they raised in private funds, it was matched by $1 from this $3 million appropriation. Over the last 4 years, they have been quite successful. In fact, this program has been quite successful in attracting a great deal of private support. And thus far, they've matched approximately $1.8 million of that $3 million. And money has been distributed both into the income account as well as into the trust fund itself. A fairly large oil and energy companies oil and energy companies have made some of the largest donations, but have also included high schools, private clubs, and conservation groups. In fact, it has attracted private donations from several different organizations. The Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund would like to have this extended for another 2 years so they can continue to match the $1.2 million that remains. And, Mr. President, that's what this amendment does.
Discussion on the amendment? Question being called on third reading amendment number 29. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 32. Budgets affected, addition to 300 sections.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this addresses the issue of the travel, publications, and advertisements that members have expressed concern about. So to try to get a better handle on it, what we're saying is that what we'd like to see is the governor first to issue an executive order talking about what are the priorities should be in this this session. Then any expenditures that are made in accordance with that order would be reported to the JAC between the time the budget goes into effect and the time that the JAC meets. Then all of the, then the each agency would have to come in and during the hearings next year with the JAC to explain and to re-justify their expenditures with respect to out-of-state travel, advertisement, and publication. So the idea is to say it seems like we may have an issue here. It seems like we may be extravagant, but instead of trying to cut out the monies right now, let's issue an executive order downstairs. Let's have expenditures make sure that they're made in accordance with that order, and then have the agencies pull out those dollars and come to JAC and say, these are the things that we're doing and we'd like to continue to do. And if they fail to do that, then they're no longer able to spend it on those items. So it's a, just seems like an appropriate way to grab in, go into the budgets, find out what these expenditures are, and take a look at it. I urge your support.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, urge your support of this. Many of us have gotten these pretty little eight-page, some of them four-color brochures, which are, frankly, basically, all have the picture of the director on the front. This, I assure you, I'm not picking on the on just Niagara, the Predator Board, but the one that had the outstanding picture of the good senator from Wordland on. This one happens to be under the Minerals Committee and is the Pipeline Authority. But if you notice, you've all seen it, it's beautiful. It's the, why do we need self-promoting brochures in four colors, sometimes eight pages? And so I think this is an appropriate addition to the budget to try to get some control over this kind of thing. It's expensive. The one that I referred to from the Predator Board cost $15,000 to produce. As the good senator from Goshen County said, that's a lot of ammunition to kill predators. And so we need to get a handle on it. We need to get control, and this is the way to do it. And I compliment the Chairman of Appropriations.
Senator Massey, are you leaving?
Mr. President, soon. But I wish that I had known back in December that these kinds of amendments would be coming through. It would save me a lot of time, enormous amounts of time. This is about one half of the paper that we got on the Appropriations Committee. And it doesn't count all the budget books. I could bring that up from my other desk from down there, and it would probably be up to about here. We looked through these budgets, I mean, I'm telling you, and we had days and days and days, endless hours, looking over budgets and interviewing agency folks. And I wish that I had known it before then that we could have done it in just a one-page amendment and not have to worry about digging through everyone's budget to make sure they were spending their money correctly.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a number of questions about this particular amendment. First of all, I guess the good chairman of Joint Appropriations would know better than I, as a relative newcomer, if we really want to generate all of that paperwork and all of the mailing costs to be shipping down to our budget division so that somebody, I'm not sure who, I guess somebody will go through that, compile it all and get it to you Joint Appropriations members so that you can determine whether or not some agency somewhere is doing what it ought to be doing. And, you know, frankly, I've got to tell you, I'm going to vote against this amendment. I think it oversteps the bounds. I'm not sure. What about the institution over the hill? Are we gonna report by the fifth of the month every time they take a track team somewhere out of state, or what all does this encompass? And I just think it probably oversteps the bounds. Seems to me like, you know, a governor's memo might pass along the information that we're asking that we tighten the reins a little bit. And that might suffice.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. He's exactly right. We have been besieged by a lot of paper, but I don't think what we're trying to do is eliminate the information that we get. It's the quality of the presentation, not the quality of the information or the lack thereof. We have institution over the mountain that really does a good job of making beautiful, beautiful presentations. It isn't any better information on paper that you get in a Christmas card, but it certainly is a lot more expensive. I think there's what we need to do is take a look at this and see how beautiful they need to be to transmit the information to us, which we need. I would like to have you approve this amendment, please.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment. This is how bureaucracy grows, spending all its time satisfying the paperwork needs of bureaucracy. And I think the better way to get a handle on this is to, in the budget process, take a few of the more egregious examples and make some few selective reductions in standard budgets.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, speaking against the amendment, as I've heard over the last several weeks and times past about not micromanaging agencies, and I would imagine this would be kind of heading in that direction. And I might add, I think that's a very good picture of a good senator from Moreland.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion before the sponsor take his second term. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. And folks, Each time I come down here, folks ask me the question, where, you know, how much out-of-state travels there, how much is in the publications, what's in the advertising, and we can't answer those because those dollars are buried in budgets. Seems to me the directors ought to know what they're spending and what their agencies are, and if it's the University of Wyoming, the president of the university ought to know what's being spent, and it's a simple thing to say, tell me what's being spent, let me know, and I'll report it. And I'm not asking for anything. It can be on a half-page sheet. This is what we did. This is what we are spending on it. And we'll know the answers to it. But right now, I've sat through these hearings for a long time, and I can't answer it. And I've studied the budgets as well as anybody, I think. They're buried at a different level. If you don't want to have this information, fair enough. But it seems to me that if you're going to ask me and you want me to know the answer, and I think I should know the answer, and I think the committee should know the answer. We're not asking for a huge effort, but a director really ought to know how much he's spending, where it's coming from, and I suspect that right now if you ask the directors, some of them wouldn't even know where the money's coming from to pay for some of this publication. And if they ought to know who's traveling out of state. They ought to know why they're traveling out of state. It's going to require a little bit more involvement. But again, we'll make sure we discuss with the budget office. We're not looking for a lengthy report. It doesn't have to be onerous. We just want to know.
Question is, should third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. Senate File 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S. Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 1, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. If I may have the pleasure of the floor.
You may.
You know, I'd like to thank Senators Meyer, Peterson, Townsend, Massey. If you'd give them a round of applause, they did a lot of work on this budget. Mr. President, I'll say this, having done this for many years, what makes the budget process fun was the debate on Tuesday and the debate on today. It made it all worthwhile. It was a fun debate.
The Senate will take approximately 10, 15 minutes break. Okay. Senate then is on recess for 10 to 15 minutes.
dreadful votes in there already.
Hey, I was with you guys, you know. Yeah. Watch it. I said, you know, I just went for the day, you know.
Asking you already. Big Ben.
Big Ben, all right. It's a good budget. We held our own. We held our budget.
You know, I was in such a hurry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Fun?
That was the last 2 days was fun.
How is he going to explain? We never have a moment here. I voted, I gave the Liquor Commission a $10 million building, but I couldn't vote once for $10 million for my city.
Is this me?
No. Ross, you know. Come on, Tony.
That's it.
You got to get these figured out.
What do you mean? The building's going in his city?
Oh, there you go. My God, he's quick, see? It's a good thing you got Phil here on your side, Tony. You know what I mean? You got you.
Senate will come back to order. Diane, we got reports and messages. Just reports. Reports from standing committees.
February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 44, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Larson, Martin, and Schiffer. No, Senators Case and Perkins. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 95, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Cole, Dockstader, Jennings, S. Meyer, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 29, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Larson, Perkins, Schiffer. No, Senators Case and Martin. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 47, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Dockstader, Jennings, S. Meyer. No, Senator Burns. Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 70, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Larson, Martin, Perkins, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 67, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Larson, Martin, Perkins, and Schiffer. No, Senator Case, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 25th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 77, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Cole, Dockstader, Jennings, S. Meyer. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Oh, some more reports. Excuse me. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 15, Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions, has a shift of funds from the general fund to the Department of Electrical Safety, and I'd ask that it be referred to appropriations. I've talked to the appropriations chairman. I think I'll be able to hear it in short order.
Without objections, House Bill 15 will be referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like a privilege to the floor before I make my motion, if I may. Senators, quite often, if you want people to think you're intelligent, you tell them things that they already know, and then they think you think alike. But in terms of what you already know, we have these bills up. We have about 15 others. That puts about 25 or 26 bills available to us now for Committee of the Whole. We started early this morning at 8 o'clock in order to get an early adjournment. Had we not started, it would be after 5 o'clock now. The whole idea was to cut some slack, if you so to speak, to two committees that meet upon adjournment, being Ag and Appropriations. You know how hard they've worked If bills don't come out of committee, they don't make it to the floor. So I'm going to make a motion to adjourn here in a minute to allow these two committees and others that may have agreed to meet upon adjournment so those folks can have a little extra time without going too late. The other end of the deal comes tomorrow when we get into the general file. I would hope that you would really work on your preparations and get those as succinct as you could get them and nail your points in terms of bullet points and make our questions as pointed as possible and continue our standard of quality in terms of the debate, but do it as succinctly as possible. We're going to work pretty hard tomorrow, same time frame as we always have, 10 o'clock, 2-hour lunch hour, adjourn reasonably, although we may go somewhat later tomorrow, but there are some functions. Having said that, I would repeat to staff and to all of you, then Monday, the last day of committee of the whole, we can plan, and I'll let you know for sure tomorrow, certainly, when we adjourn. But you can plan on a very early take-up on Monday, maybe even as early as 8:30. If there's an issue with that, come see me. We can adjust that. I would plan on a short noon hour, probably an hour. And I would plan on staying late on Monday. But for now, we're going to do the work of the people, and we're going to do the work of the Senate. And we're going to allow those committees that have been, I think, somewhat penalized by meeting upon adjournment a little extra time. So having said that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, February 26th.
Senator Guy.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet in about 10 minutes. Take up H.J.R. 10, Resolution Promissory of Wyoming Water Rights, House Bill 122, Engrossed, Disposal of Livestock, House Bill 114, Engrossed, Partitions and Fences, House Bill 54, Engrossed, Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., in the normal committee room, House Bill 11, Engrossed Cancer Control Amendment, House Bill 132, Homicide During Pregnancy 2, House Bill 64, Mandatory Minimum Sentence for Sexual Abuse of Minor. We may not get all the way through that one, but it's starting at 8 o'clock. We're going to hear House Bill 128, Engrossed Health Insurance Interstate Purchase, followed by House Bill 108, Engrossed Health Insurance Reform, and then we will deal with anything left over from the first three, first thing in the morning, anything we didn't get through there.
Senator Van Plateren.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30. That's tomorrow morning, Senator Geis, 8:30 a.m., room S13, House Bill 19, Engrossed Mandatory Savings Accounts for Inmates. House Bill 115, Specific Purpose Excise Tax Voter Petition. And House Bill 89, Engrossed Resident Contract Preferences.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following bills. House Bill 80, Peace Officers, Detention Officers, and Dispatchers. House Bill 36, Notaries. House Bill 75, Loss of Parental Rights, Homicide of Spouse. House Bill 83, Crimes and Offenses, Restrictions for Adult Sex Offenders. And if time permits, House Bill 20, Criminal Street Gang. And House Bill 91, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Whistleblowers.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The number 2, Appropriations, is going to meet upon adjournment to consider House Bill 18, Engrossed Aquatic Invasive Species 2, House Bill 61, Engrossed Legal Services Funding, and House Joint Resolution 4, Mandatory Judicial Retirement. That's going to be up in room 16. In addition, Mr. President, we had tentatively scheduled for tomorrow morning a bill that we will take up this evening as well. And that's House Bill 111, Engrossed Electric Transmission Consideration of Regional Issues. That was a Simpson bill, but
I'm not sure who the House member or the Senate member on it, but we'll take that up this evening as well. And in addition, we're going to take up House Bill 15, Electric Safety and Fire Prevention Revisions. This evening, and I think the JAC will probably come in and meet around, be available to meet around 9 a.m. tomorrow to go over the House amendments and begin a look at, be prepared for a presentation to the House, the Senate tomorrow.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, can I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Behind us in the gallery up there, and if he could stand up, I know he doesn't want this, but joining us, having been in this Capitol for quite some time, former minority leader in the House, Wayne Reese. Welcome.
Welcome to the Senate, Wayne. Glad to see you again. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 26th. And for Senator Bebelt, that's 2010. 15 minutes after the noon recess in room S18 to consider the following bills. House Bill 94, Real Property Easements. House Bill 72, Engrossed, Regulation of Wind Energy Facilities. House Bill 106, Engrossed, Small Business Investment Credit. House Bill 97, Nuclear Energy Production Study. House Bill 79, Engrossed, Eminent Domain Wind Power Collector Lines, if time allows. And House Bill 59, Engrossed, Workforce Services Amendments.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee, your Select Committee on Tribal Relations will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider interim topics.
Majority floor leader.
Thank you. Just a quick reminder, Mr. President, Governor's Prayer Breakfast tomorrow, 7 o'clock a.m. at Little America.
Senator Geis.
President, I forgot to announce that upon noon, the joint House and Senate Ag Committees are going to work on interim study.
You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Friday, February 26th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. We are adjourned.